Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here tonight to speak to you and to introduce our wonderful speakers. About 3 weeks ago, can you hear me? How's that? Is that better? Thank you very much. About 3 weeks ago, I'm not sure the exact time, there was an all-party candidate meeting in Kitsilano. The Green Party was there, the NDP was there, and the Liberals were there, and the No Work Party and a couple of others. Anyway, it was a very interesting get-together. It was pretty charged and partisan. But the question that I had to ask of the candidates was, what is your position on making British Columbia a GE-free zone? The NDP candidate mentioned that, is it sound okay? He said, we support mandatory labeling of genetically engineered food. We would like to see by 2010 that British Columbia would be a GE-free zone. And the Green Party candidate, he said, we've always been for making Canada a GE-free zone, and particularly British Columbia. And if we are elected, unfortunately, they didn't make it. They said we would make it. We would make British Columbia a GE-free zone immediately. And the Liberal candidate mentioned that well, it's got to be science-based, and we have to study this matter further. And basically obfuscated, and really didn't answer directly. So I was a little disappointed in their answer. So I'm sending them a copy. Gordon Campbell and the other person that got elected in our riding, a book called Seeds of Deception, so that they can understand the question a little bit more clearly about the risks and dangers of genetically engineered food. I don't consider myself political, that is partisan. I like to kind of keep middle of the road and But I would support any good person with a good idea at any time, any place. I think because human beings have such poor judgment, we get ourselves time and time again into a corner environmentally and ecologically that we're putting the planet at risk. We're putting the future of our society at risk, and we're putting the future generations at risk. So since sometimes the wisdom of humans doesn't prevail in large scale, I think sometimes we need to look to the animals, the animal kingdom, to learn some lessons. And I'd like to share a very brief story about the wisdom of squirrels, elk, deer, raccoons, and mice. For years, a retired Iowa farmer fed squirrels on his farm through the winter months by placing corn cobs in feeders. One year, just for the heck of it, he decided to see if the squirrels had a preference for BT corn or natural corn. He put natural corn in one feeder and BT corn in another, about 20 feet away. The squirrels ate all the corn off the natural cobs but didn't touch the BT corn. The farmer dutifully refilled the feeder with more natural corn, and sure enough, it was soon gone. The BT corn, however, remained untouched. BT corn is a corn in which gene spliced with a pesticide, a naturally occurring pesticide, but in its unnatural form, of course, it has questionable results. The retired farmer got curious. What if the BT variety was the squirrel's only choice? To find out, he didn't refill the natural corn. At the time, Iowa was plunged into the coldest days of winter, but day after day, the BT corn cob remained intact. The squirrels went elsewhere for their food. After about 10 days, the squirrels ate about an inch of the tip of an ear, but that's all. The farmer felt sorry for the squirrels and put natural corn back into the feeders, which the squirrels once again consumed. Now, this is another story about an elk. A captive elk escaped and took up residence in our crops of organic corn and soy. It had total access to the neighboring fields of GM crops, but they never went into them. Susan and Mark Fitzgerald in Minnesota. So I'll just one more story. Writer Steve Sprinkle described a herd of about 40 deer that ate from a field of organic soybeans, but not the Roundup Ready variety across the road. Likewise, raccoons devoured organic corn, but didn't touch an ear of BT corn growing down the road. Even the mice will move on down the line if given an alternative to those crops. So I shared that from Seeds of Deception, which is an excellent book, and I brought about five copies with me, but they sold out immediately, the proceeds of which are donated to the Council of Canadians. We supported Percy Smizer's fight against the Monsanto giant. And unfortunately, he wasn't successful, but in many ways, he was successful. I think Monsanto underestimated Percy. He's a real, true David fighting against a Goliath. Monsanto people thought that he just fell off the back of a turnip truck. But no, they, in this quiet man, a very thoughtful man, a considerate man, a man who has been a pillar of his community in his entire lifetime and served his community, he has risen up against the injustices and the criminal behavior of a huge company out of control. Not only had he been hurt financially and other ways, his reputation in the community, and hundreds, if not thousands, of other farmers like Percy in North America and in other countries, he has become kind of a magnet, a focal point, and has had personal meetings with Prince Charles, has been honored in many countries throughout the world for his stand up against Monsanto and the injustices that they've perpetrated. He has just been a very eloquent, convincing spokesperson for the fight against genetic contamination. I'll just give you a little bit of a story of what an example of economic loss. Canada was a huge exporter of canola oil to other countries. Sales were in the hundreds of millions of dollars annually. But I'll just explain our experience. Nature's Path, we use over 600,000 pounds of organic canola oil a year. And because of the contamination problem with canola, we have now completely switched away from canola oil to another edible oil crop, an organic edible oil crop. Another indication of here's a good crop, a good product, but unfortunately we can't use it anymore. This is a very graphic example of genetic trespass. I said a few years ago in an article that was published in the New York Times that there's no wall high enough to keep out genetic contamination. We've got to do something about this. There is hope through identity preservation and a growing commitment to sustainable agriculture and organic farming. We can hopefully keep the tide back. But some of these genes are bound to slip through, unfortunately. This is what we've got to fight against. And we have joined, Nature's Path has joined in the fight with the Saskatchewan Organic Directorate in their class action lawsuit against Monsanto and Bayer Crop Science due to the liability issue of the contamination of organic crops by this unwanted technology. We as consumers, as farmers, as processors, we never asked for this. It came on us unbidden, unasked for. But we do have to face it, and we have to fight it together. So without further ado, Percy has a riveting story to tell. And we have many other great speakers as well. I have the honor of introducing my good friend, the salt of the earth, Percy Smyser.